When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the second hour of our Seafair edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, and if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website, bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And, by the way, you can find us on Facebook these days. So go to Facebook, look for Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Give us a like while you're there, and check out all the really great stories and videos and animal photographs that I put up. The best animal stuff crosses my path anymore. I find it's really nice to get plugged in to the divine wave, and then you just it just seems to cross your path what you need. And so I've got the greatest collection of animal stuff up on the Animal World Facebook page. So check it out. And let's see, we are talking about the human animal today. We're talking about yoga and the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. And my guest in the studio is the director of Ananda Yoga Teacher Training. And that is going to be beginning the next round of Level 1 Ananda Teacher Training begins in September. So this is perfect timing for the show. And Morley is here in the studio with me, and we've just been talking about Morley's background and after growing up in India and graduating in computer science stuff, coming to Kansas of all places to finish his
wonderful place.
Is it? It's never been to Kansas.
Spectacular place.
The most I know about Kansas is Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. And are we in Kansas, Dorothy? That sort of stuff. But
I cannot tell you the number of times people in Seattle told me once they knew I came from Kansas. They kept saying, "You're not in Kansas anymore."
And you wondered where that was coming.
Yeah, I knew that. There are many indicators that I'm not in Kansas. We have mountains, for example. And then I got it again after about 5 years.
Oh, okay.
What the reference was.
Yeah, well, of course, because you wouldn't have seen probably the Wizard of Oz or
any
idea about that kind of stuff. But I can imagine where people would teach you with that. You're not in Kansas anymore, Morley. Of course, a lot of it. Yeah. Anyway, so you came to our greater Seattle area and move out here to Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were talking about kind of your spiritual evolution here, and that hindsight, this has been a part of your life, all of your life. You had just ventured into East West Bookshop and were curious about what was going on there. You saw, Paramahansa Yogananda's photograph and Lahiri Mahasaya, and yet that feeling.
Yeah, it was that feeling. It's hard to describe, but I'm sure it's something that most people have experienced, that you see somebody or a photograph, and there is a familiarity, a recognition, which defies logic, because you know that you haven't seen that photo before.
Right.
But yet it's so familiar. And in fact, I remember calling my mom, confusing Lahiri Mahasaya with one of my uncles. Not confusing, but I had thought that he seemed familiar because I had an uncle that looked like it. And then we had a discussion, and she said, no, absolutely not. He looks nothing like that.
But how come I know him?
Yeah, and it was, the attraction was kind of, it had no logical basis.
All right. Well, now, was the Ananda program, Ananda Yoga, a Hatha Yoga program, was that going at the time? Were they doing classes there at East West? I don't know.
Yes, yes, they were. They were doing the Hatha and the Raja intensive course, which is going to begin right after Labor Day here. That was not the course that I joined. I was a yoga teacher then, teaching a different style of yoga already. And then my impression when I went to East West was, I have done a lot of physical yoga, but I really need to meditate. That was the... I hesitate to use the term calling. It wasn't a calling yet. It was, but I didn't know it.
You didn't know it, yeah.
But what was happening in my mind was, well, I really need to meditate. Not sure why I need to. And then there was a class which was called Learn to Meditate.
And we still have that class.
We still have it. And so that's how I joined.
All right. Well, now I want to ask about, you had said what you were already doing yoga. You were already teaching yoga. But you mentioned something about that once you had realized how wonderful yoga is, that you were interested in more, and that's what led you to East West Bookshop. But so it sounds like is doing the physical yoga kind of a natural thing that happens for most people growing up in India? Because you said you've been doing yoga since you were 8 years old. So is that just like part and parcel, like kind of like, you know, playing football and baseball for kids over here in the state, you know, when they're, you know, or sports type stuff? Is it, or was it just your family was inclined to that sort of thing? And what made you, what attracted you to yoga?
Is it a part and parcel of living in India? Yes and no.
Okay.
It's around you. Yeah. It's hard to avoid hearing about it, and it's hard to it's just there.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that everybody or even a large percentage of the population does it. Some people do, some people don't, and it's definitely more prevalent there than perhaps any other place in the world.
Okay.
Having said that, it's it was mostly my family. The reason I started doing yoga was when I was 8 years old, my brother decided instead of sleeping in, I needed to get up at 6 and go to the local temple and do yoga. And that's why I started it, and I didn't like it at the time.
I can understand that.
And I didn't like it for a long time. But it's there's also the sense that, yeah, I didn't like it, but it's like vegetables, you really cannot live without. So there was really no... This is all looking back. At the time, I didn't know this. But there was really no sense in my mind that I would have a life which didn't have yoga in it in some form or the other.
Okay.
It's just that I went through phases where I didn't like it, and then phases where I hated it, and then I liked it, and then I liked it a lot.
At some point, I've forgotten exactly the words that you used. You said something about, once I realized how great yoga is and what it does for you. Well, how great is yoga? What do we need to know about it?
Well, it is yoga primarily, and this was my realization. This was my in into this entire field. Yoga primarily is a practice for the mind.
Oh.
Even the physical postures is a practice. It's the reason it exists, the reason it was invented, so to speak. You have to wonder about that. There are these people somewhere in India, who knows when, at least a couple of thousand years ago, probably more like 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, why did they find the need to stand on their head?
Yeah.
Which is an odd thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then why did they do all of those pretzel-like shapes? Because you can only get so flexible. And then what? What's how flexible should your hamstrings be for you to be happy?
Right.
As long as it doesn't give you back pain, chances are you're okay. And the reason they did that is this remarkable fact that it's both obvious and remarkable that the body can influence the mind. And we see this all the time. If say we've had a long day, it's the end of a long day, you're done with people, you just want to settle down and be by yourself.
Right.
What shape does your body assume? It perhaps curls up. It becomes much smaller than what it was. It probably bend at the hips a little bit, bend your knees and tuck your torso into your thighs and you know, bring your arms closer to each other. You just reduce the size of the body that you present to the outside world. And that is fine.
Yeah.
We all know that. But what happens is, and next time you do that, watch what happens to the mind. The mind literally becomes more peaceful. Not because we have conditioned it to be peaceful whenever we approach, whenever we assume that position, but because we assume that position because the mind becomes peaceful. And take the opposite case. If you want to assert yourself to the world, you want to announce your presence in front of a group of people, we lift our chest, for example. We kind of lift our chin. We spread the arms, or unconsciously, maybe even take a wider stance, standing up. This is the way that we express vitality, participation, taking up an opportunity, living in the present moment. The body becomes bigger. That position of the body, it's called extension, as opposed to flexion, which was the previous one. Extension causes vitality in the mind. In the mind. And flexion causes calmness in the mind.
Wow.
And you take this to its logical conclusion and find very specific ways of doing that. What you get is yoga. So primarily, yoga is a practice for the mind, to refine the mind, to calm the mind. So we move the body merely to be still. It's a very wonderful side effect that by doing so, there are a lot of health benefits, and that's, we can get into that a little bit deeper soon. But the thing to realize is that that's a side effect. The main effect is that the mind becomes calm. And in my own journey into yoga, this is what made it go beyond mere information and made it into an experience was, I used to suffer from depression for years and years and years. And went through all of the molecules that are used to treat depression. Went through many, many of them. And, you know, if you are in that state, they have their place. They do get you out of stuff, and in some cases, they are required. But in my case, I knew that it was more than that. And then when I started yoga, it was immediate. And it felt like whatever was wrong, this is speaking for myself, whatever was happening in my mind that caused the depression began to slip away. So when I say yoga is for the mind and I got tuned into that, I literally did in a very personal and experiential kind of way.
And, well, I know that when I joined Ananda, I really didn't really understand what yoga was. I mean, I always thought yoga was just yoga, the physical body posturing. I didn't know that much about it, had never done it. But then I began to understand as I became part of Ananda that yoga is much bigger than just the physical posturing. And doesn't yoga, the word itself, means union.
Yes, yoga just means union. Yoga, in fact, is the word that's it's a word that describes the contraption that you use to, I don't know what the word is, but to tie horses together so that they march in lockstep when they are pulling a chariot or a wagon or something. And it indicates the power. It indicates the circumstance that when aspects of who we are going in lockstep, then we actually move forward in a meaningful way. So it's talking about union, and you know, in its entirety, it means union of the little self, the ego, with the higher self.
But
there are any number of other lower octaves of that union. And they are all collectively called as yoga.
And so then there are different kinds of yoga, other than the physical body posturing.
Yes.
I mean, the one I can think of, like, there's Raja Yoga and Kriya Yoga.
There is different practices.
Okay, different practices.
That collectively can be called as yoga. Just like when you say something that moves on four wheels could either be a car or a truck or a bus. They all have an underlying similarity, and they all have, at some level, they have a similar goal of transportation. Yogic practices are similar, that at their essence, they have a similar goal. And depending on what you want to do, where you are at this point, you pick one or the other.
Gotcha. And so primarily what we're going to focus on today would be what we would call Hatha Yoga.
We are going to focus on it, but given it is yoga, given that at some level you cannot really talk about one without talking about everything else, there will be other aspects that will come in.
Okay.
We'll just follow the thread starting from the body.
All right. I think that's an appropriate time for us to take care of advertisers and sponsors. Remember, it is the most important part of the show, because without them, there is no us. We can't do this kind of programming. So please listen, pay attention, thank them, support them, and stay right where you are, because we are just getting into the meat of a subject here. I think where we're going to go next is kind of different. The different kinds of yoga, because I think Ananda Yoga is different than a lot of, you know, there's a yoga studio now on every corner. It's kind of like espresso stands anymore, at least in our neck of the woods around
here.
There's yoga everywhere, but I don't think all yoga is the same. So I want to kind of get a basic understanding of what it's all about. So that's where we're headed. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomed George Beam, pop culture aficionado, who shares details of new movies and the upcoming TV season.
On Saturday, Louisa Oakley Green, the psychic bystander, returns with more stories of strange encounters and pure weirdness.
In hour number two, Puget Sound medium Jeffrey Marks discusses the landscape and lifestyle of the other side.
Bringing you fascinating talk since 2007, we are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for anti-icky poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-icky poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Conversation you won't find on the rest of the dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're approaching midway through this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, and we are educating the human animal today. We're talking about Ananda Yoga, and the director of the Ananda Yoga Teacher Training Program, Morley, is here in the studio with me, and what we were talking about is kind of the what yoga is, and that I was just mentioning that, you know, there seems to be a yoga studio on every corner anymore, like espresso stands around here. But I hear that, and then I've heard about the hot yoga and some, but then I always hear that Ananda Yoga is somewhat different. So can you kind of give us a general overall on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, let me begin by saying that yoga is much more than physical, and the term yoga encompasses meditative practices and chanting and devotional aspects. It's an entire spectrum of things. And at least for the next few minutes, when we say yoga, let's just assume that it refers to the physical
yoga.
Practice,
okay.
Bending forward, standing on your head, bending backwards, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And the traditional name for that in Sanskrit is Hatha Yoga, H-A-T-H-A.
Yeah, Hatha Yoga.
Yeah, and the common use of that term in, say, if you pick the random Indian language, the word Hatha means obstinate.
Obstinate?
Yeah, that's what you would tell your child, you know, stop
right.
being obstinate.
Right, right.
Stop being Hatha. I used it a little differently, but that's the spirit behind that word.
Huh.
And it's basically referring to the fact that the body, the human body, inherently likes to rest, but it's designed for moving.
Uh-huh.
But its fundamental characteristic is one of inertia. So there is this obstinacy going on, and it needs to be lengthened, expanded. In fact, the word Hatha, properly understood, means some two parts of us that are moving away from each other.
Okay.
And that's the fundamental spirit of every Hatha Yoga pose that you do. Every yoga pose that you do is there is some part of the body that's lengthening away from some other center of the body.
Uh-huh.
But that's kind of the basics.
Okay.
And what are all these different schools? Are they different yogas? Do they take you different places? That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is, are they just mere branding of the exact same thing?
Right.
Like in most such things, the truth is somewhere in between.
Okay.
Think about it this way. Let's say you're kind of freaking out. You know, you've had some kind of stress and your mind is moving and you just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
What would you do in such a case? What one would do, for one common thing you'd do is perhaps get up and move your body. You'd probably go out for a run. You'd go hit the gym, as they say.
Right.
Just burn off some of that restlessness.
Yeah.
And remember I said yoga is a practice for the mind.
Right.
So if you used your body to calm the mind, that is one way of doing it, is to emphasize our inner faculty of power and then use that to calm the mind.
Uh-huh.
That is one entire approach to yoga. And for those of you yogis out there who practice all of these, I will just preface all of this by saying that I'm making generalizations here to drive home a certain point.
Right.
So one approach to yoga is to start with power and then say, I will do the poses deeper. I will, whenever I transition from one pose to the other, I will use my core and jump from here to there. And then occasionally I will jack up the heat so that I can do more of these more deeply. Then you have hot yoga. And if you emphasize more of the jumping and the extremely deep movements, then you have, I'll just throw out some terms out there, and for yogis that are practicing this will be familiar. You have vinyasa yoga, you have power yoga, you have Mysore style yoga. All of these predominantly calm the mind through the faculty of power that's in us. This is, in one sense, similar to hitting the gym, but much more, because yoga eventually works on the mind, and therefore it works in a far more direct way than pushing weights, which has its own advantages. But in the yogic context, it is still yoga, but the main approach is through power. Another approach, and this is what you wouldn't think that this would be an approach, but another way is you watch minute aspects of your body, and then you say, instead of merely standing straight, I'll try and stand really straight. Then you think through what that might mean. It might mean pressing through your toes. It might mean activating your inner thighs. It might mean lifting your heart. It might mean bringing the exact amount of tension into your abdomen, spreading your shoulders, making your chin parallel to the floor. All of those things. You do all of those, and then your body comes in the exact right position. And then from there, you emphasize, you increase range of motion in the hip joint by bending forward and backward, and do them minutely and with great awareness. Then again, the mind begins to calm down. You wouldn't think that it would, but it does. Because of the fundamental principle that I said during the last hour, that when you make the body become small, it's calming down. When you make it become big, it's filled with vitality. In either case, restlessness is reduced. So this second approach, where you minutely tweak different aspects of the body to restore its original alignment, there is a large number of yogas that fall under that approach. Iyengar yoga is a very common and a very wonderful technique to do that. Structural yoga is another one. And there are any number of other alignment-based techniques. So you got power and then you got alignment. Gotcha. Both of these are valid ways of picking up the thread of yoga. In Ananda yoga, what we do is instead of working with these faculties, which in a sense are limited in their scope, we say, okay, if yoga is about the mind, why not involve the mind right from the beginning?
Uh-huh.
So what we do, say I already told you, if you bend forward, if you make your body smaller, the mind gets calmer.
Right.
So why not do that yoga pose? It's called Padahastasana, Sanskrit. Pada is foot, hasta is hand. Bringing the hand to the foot, which is a forward bend, Padahastasana. If the mind becomes calmer, why don't we actually start affirming a place of calmness in the mind? Then a very interesting thing happens, and this can be experienced by anybody. If you just curl yourself into a ball and then you tell yourself, say, for example, you tell yourself, I relax into my inner haven of peace. As you're curling yourself into a ball. And then you'll see that whatever the body position implies, the mind amplifies.
I love that. I relax into my inner haven of peace.
Oh. Try that when you curl up today at the end of your day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then affirm it like you mean it. Right. Not, but there is a difference between positive thinking and affirmation.
Uh-huh.
Positive thinking is something like this. It says, I've never been able to get up at 5 a.m., but from tomorrow I will get up at 5 a.m. because I know I'm ready to do it.
Right.
And if you examine that sentence, mostly what you're saying is, I have not been able to do it,
right,
but I'll try anyway.
Right.
Affirmation's different. Affirmation says, my truth is that I am peace. That is my truth. I may be deluded right this moment by being freaked out, but my truth is that I am peace.
Uh-huh.
So when we say those affirmations like we mean it, I fake it till you make it,
kind
of just really be in that space and use the body to open another back channel to the mind, saying, hey, look, even the body is saying you're at peace. Then what happens is it's like the feedback that's created when you put a microphone next to an amplifier, when next to a speaker, that each one begins to amplify the other.
Right.
And that really is yoga. Is again, yoga means union. In this case, yoga means union of body and the mind. But what's the medium that brings it together?
Mm.
Now we are at the heart of yoga. The medium that brings it together is the breath.
The breath.
Let me digress just a little bit, and I'll come back and I'll connect the thoughts, connect the dots. But say you're trying to go to sleep, and there is a loud noise outside. The more you focus on that loud noise, the more it has the ability to disturb you.
Right.
The more you obsess about it, and that applies to almost anything. Say your partner's next to you snoring, and the more you focus on it, the more you have the potential to get irritated by it.
Right.
There is one aspect of us that does not follow that rule, and that's the breath. Next time, try this. Next time when you're sleeping or trying to relax, watch the breath. The more you watch the breath, the less it disturbs you. In fact, the more it relaxes you, and the breath itself becomes smaller and smaller. It just fades away. That's how we are built, because by being aware of this physiological phenomenon that connects the body with the mind becomes calm.
Uh-huh.
So now let me connect the dots. You start with the body, you make it smaller or bigger to reinforce a state of consciousness, calmness or vitality. Let's just stick with calmness since we've been talking about it. And then you go to the mind, which is at the other end of the spectrum, and affirm that calmness like you mean it, like you are already there. And then the body and the mind work together, and they produce increased levels of calmness. And all through this, you keep focusing on the breath. You keep watching it. The net result of all of these is we take the three aspects of us, the body, mind, and the energy that connects it, and bring them all into a state of heightened calmness, heightened peace, reduced restlessness, and on and on. And this is really the wellspring from which, Marta, you asked me some time ago that I had meant, referring to something I had alluded to, that yoga does have these extraordinarily deep benefits.
Right.
This is where it comes from.
Uh-huh.
Is, you see, when, if you think about healing, how we heal. Animals, they are so much in touch with their body that they heal from injuries at a pace and in a way that we can only fantasize about. They are just right there. They just heal from it so quickly. There are many reasons for it, but at least part of the reason is they are extremely aware of their body.
Yes.
Their mental noise is far less than ours. And what that's saying, the reality that it's taking us to, is most of the healing happens when the mind is still, when we pay attention to the body. It's like if the owner is in the house, then the house is clean. If not, there are cobwebs. So if the mind is in the body, then the body is clean. So what yoga does, at least from, it does many other things, but from a healing perspective, what it does is It makes the mind still. And therefore, it comes back and looks at the body and says, really, that's what's going on with you all these days? Why didn't you tell me? And the body says, I tried to tell you. You wouldn't listen.
Gotcha.
And then whatever innate healing powers that we have begin to kick in. And we get healing at a level that you really wouldn't expect. I don't want to imply here that it's the cure for all diseases. Not at all. Diseases need to be treated in the way they should be.
Right.
But this is an adjunct, an invaluable adjunct. And we've seen this again and again in research into diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, cancer, irritable bowel syndrome, depression, anxiety, again and again and again, that even a little bit of practice of yoga has a kind of a vastly disproportionate effect.
Wow. Well, just in what you're talking and about what happens when you learn how to do these yoga posturing and the calming and the still, you know, we already know how beneficial that is to healing and to healthy physical bodies. I'm sitting here thinking, geez, Martha, why haven't you gotten into this before? It's like, I need to be doing this. But so is it fair to say the difference between a lot of the other varieties of yoga compared to Ananda yoga is that you're combining the physical body posturing with the right mindset and the affirmations going along that make it work deeper or better or...
Well, that's exactly right. That we start from the recognition that yoga is about the mind. And then we bring the mind into it in the form of affirmations right from the get-go. And therefore, the entire practice, while you actually, when you do Ananda Yoga, you get a significant workout. But it's the kind of workout that doesn't tire you. It's the kind of workout where instead of feeling a little depleted at the end of it, you feel more peaceful and more rejuvenated. And that's because the mind has been there all along, that it has never left the practice. And therefore, it's guiding and doing intuitively what it knows is right for the body. So all yoga works this way. In Ananda Yoga, we pick that thread and put it front and center right from the beginning.
All right. Sounds absolutely wonderful. And I got so excited about doing the show, I think in May, is that when the dedication for the yoga hall was. And I, of course, had to do the show. It was on a Sunday afternoon. I had to do the show that day. And so then I'd raced out of here and then up to the yoga hall for the dedication. But so I wasn't there for the whole thing. And I when I got there, you were already doing the presentation on yoga and the demonstration. It had a wonderful talk, and then some of the Ananda yoga teachers were doing demonstrations of poses, and you were talking about them. And I got so excited listening to you because you'd have them, they'd be doing a pose, and you'd be describing what it was, and you'd be saying something like, and you do this, I mean, it's like having 10 cups of coffee, and but you would describe the feeling and the result of doing these things, and it was just awe-inspiring. It was like, whoa, wow, I had no idea that all of this transpired doing yoga, which is why I'm just feeling more and more called, if you will, that it's time for me to really get involved. So there are, depending on the posture you do, would then determine the affirmations that you're doing, then would create different sensations or
yes,
responses in the body.
Exactly. And it's there aren't that many. It's not a complex science. All it is if a posture makes you reduces your form factor. Is that a familiar term sometimes with English as a second language? I don't know which one's a big one and which one's a familiar term.
Yeah.
But if it reduces your form factor, then it's calming. Think about curling up in front of a
right,
fireplace.
That's what I'm understanding now. If you're making the body smaller and curling up, then you're going into calm. And but if you're
making the
up,
body
so
bigger, let me restate it. If you're making the body smaller, you're going into an area of peace, shanti. If you're making the body bigger, you're going into a place of vitality.
Uh-huh.
But underlying both of those is calmness. That at the center of both of those is a sense of, since it's Olympics, let me give this. I love watching these long-distance runners in Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
Especially as they come at the end of their, say, a marathon or a 10K or one of those really longer endurance ones. And watch them as those events happen. At the time, even though they are doing physical feats that most of us can only dream of or fantasize about, even though they are doing those, pushing their body to the limits and beyond, notice how calm they are. Their chest is fully open, their shoulders are not droopy, they are just there. They are in that rhythm, one step follows the next, and it's gracefulness in movement.
Yes.
So it's the main thing about doing yoga this way is no matter what effort you put in, even making the body smaller in deeper yoga poses, advanced yoga poses, takes a degree of effort. It has to come from a center of calmness. That's why you have the breath. So that's why in yoga, and especially in Ananda Yoga, all of yoga actually, is you focus on the breath and keep saying, okay, am I calm? Is this coming from, am I fighting with myself at this point? Or am I still doing it in a way that is true for me? So that's what, that is one of the main techniques, if you will, of yoga. And something that you said, Martha, just made me feel like I have to make this point.
Yeah.
I often have students come up to me and say, I don't think I can do yoga. I'm not very flexible. My tongue-in-cheek comment to them is, well, if you were flexible, why would you need to do yoga? but that's mostly to break the ice. It's really not so much about how far your body can go. It is more how does it get there. So it's all of yoga is directional. So it doesn't matter where you start. It truly doesn't matter where you start. If you move a half an inch beyond that and you do it calmly and you do it with the right mindset, then you're doing the deepest yoga imaginable.
Wonderful. All right, we do have to take care of advertisers one more time in this hour. I want to do that, but I want to get into then, because what you're saying now, that just rung a bell for me when you say, well, if you were already flexible, why do you need to do yoga? That sort of thing. More and more yoga stuff has been crossing my path, and I've seen some really fascinating articles and videos online recently about yoga. Two of them. One was a woman telling her story of how she thought she never could do yoga because she was a very large woman and quite obese. And then showing her progress, and what I was blown away at what she was able to do and her transformation in learning yoga, and it was absolutely amazing. The other one was like a really older woman, I think in like around 80 or so, and a before picture of, you know, looked like serious osteoporosis and curved spine and very bent over, and then the after picture of after a number of months of her doing yoga, and she was standing up straight as could be, and it looked like a different woman. It was absolutely phenomenal. So we're going to take care of advertisers, then come back. I want to hear from Morley. What are the reasons why, good reasons for all of us because I'm getting signed right up, and we're going to be talking about how we can get into these classes and where and all of that stuff. And then, of course, for the advanced people, you might want to learn how to be an Ananda yoga teacher, mm-hmm. and that's coming up too. But I want to know why, the reasons why we should do yoga. So let's talk about that next. We're going to take care of advertisers now. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703. Or check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Facebook.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
An alternative to everything else on your radio dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World already, but we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And I think I'll just, this is for as much Harmony's benefit as yours. We'll finish talking out this hour, and then I think when we fire up hour number three, we'll get current events out of the way to start with, and then we'll have the rest of the hour. Now we are talking to Morley. He is the director of the Ananda Yoga Teacher Training for the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga here in the Greater Seattle area, and I'm getting real excited about this, Morley, but. What would you say are the biggest reasons why people might want to get interested and start doing some yoga?
There is one class of reasons where restoring alignment to the body helps with back pain, knee pain, neck pain, tendonitis, frozen shoulders, bursitis, all of those traditionally alignment-oriented middle age and beyond, let's just call them lifestyle maladies.
So yoga is not just for young people that can do exercise and...
No, not at all. It's just from a purely structural perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as we get older, reach middle age, and we have approximately 4 decades of abuse that has been heaped on the joints. This yoga is actually quite wonderful in restoring alignment, stretching your hips, reducing pressure on your discs, reducing inflammation on your tendons, all of that kind of stuff. So that's one class of things. Back pain, knee pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
From a physiological perspective, and now because I'm very much in this space as part of my PhD, we have a lot of medical evidence. This is the gold standard of studies, double-blind controlled studies. Through that, we know for certain that yoga helps reduce the amount of insulin dependency if you have type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
So if you have type 2 diabetes and you're taking insulin for it, it helps reduce the amount you need to take, meaning the amount by which your blood sugar spikes is reduced. It brings down the amount of inflammation in the body. And as we know, inflammation now is being implicated more and more for any number of diseases, and including diabetes too. And then it is a great practice for reducing chronic stress. It's almost none better. And that is because of what we talked about.
Right, the calming all this and hour. All
yeah.
that. Yeah.
And this has been borne out by so many studies again and again and again. So that's another class. If you have a long-term stress-related disease, a kind of a metabolic imbalance such as diabetes, irritable bowel syndrome, those kinds of stuff, even poor digestion issues of any sort, poor elimination issues, which it's very, very important to get rid of that stuff from your body. Yoga helps with all of those. And this is, I'm talking, proven by study after study. The third class of places where yoga can be useful is if you suffer from insomnia, anxiety disorder, and depression. In that one, I can speak from personal experience,
yes,
but also medical studies. Increasing concentration and focus, then yoga can help with those as well. And the fourth one, and this actually many professional teams are adopting yoga for this purpose, is it can help improve your performance on with any kind of games. It can help improve performance, and because many activities put asymmetrical load on the body. If you are always cycling, then there is one part of your body that works more than other part, and that can lead to long-term consequences on your joints. Then yoga can help restore uniformity to the body. So there is a bunch of places, back pain and knee pain and neck pain.
Yeah, I was blown away by this. I'm sure I saw it on Facebook. But actually, you know, and the before and after photos, and it was an elderly woman, you know, who had the classic spine curvature for, you know, osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
And then the after, and, you know, her spine's straight as an arrow. And, I mean, I didn't realize that kind of a spinal curvature could be corrected without surgery or something, you know. Because she looked phenomenal. So that's not an unusual thing.
No, not at all.
Now, is there anybody that shouldn't or can't do physical yoga for...
There are, depending on what one's physical condition is, there are certain poses that one shouldn't do. But almost everybody can do some form of physical yoga, appropriately modified. And in those cases, my advice is go to a competent teacher, and they'll be able to advise you on what you shouldn't do. And as long as you avoid those, it should be fine.
All right. Now... If we start a yoga program, I know that there's the one coming up that you and I have been talking about off the air coming up is you go to the class once a week. And is that typical for starting yoga, that you'd go to a class once a week, or is there any kind of rule for starting, a recommendation for starting?
There is, well, the first recommendation is go to an actual physical teacher.
Okay.
That's, you know, don't read a book and start doing yoga.
Okay, okay.
The second one is like any other practice. If you are serious on jogging, you have to do it several times a week. That applies to yoga as well. I have found over the years, I mean, I've been teaching for maybe 15 years now.
Okay.
I found that approximately 3 times a week is a good way to start. And you don't have to do it for 2 hours or even an hour. Maybe half hour, 40 minutes. If you've never done yoga before, start small. And during that week, find the time to go to a class. So get taught once and practice by yourself a couple of more times. This is, you can even think of it as homework. But that's the way you get the information and knowledge and wisdom when you go to the class. And then when you practice it by yourself, it gets deeper into the body.
All right.
That'd be a great way to start.
Okay. So going to a class once a week and then practicing your yoga a couple of times in addition to that would be a good way to start. And that sounds really reasonable that you could do that. But now I think some people can go to more frequent class, you know, like go to a yoga class every day or something. And is that, do you find that when you, as you get better at it, do you want to do it more often?
Well, yes. It's kind of how joggers feel, that once you really get into it, a day without yoga feels curiously empty.
All right.
It's like a day without coffee.
Okay, so we are going to wrap up hour number two here and fire up hour number three. I'll get hour number three rolling, and then I think we will do a real quick current events to get that out of the way. If I'm remembering correctly, there may be some new details on current events, but I don't think there's any new events on the schedule. So we'll get that out of the way, and then we'll have the rest of the hour two.